Since the dawn of video game creation, mankind has had trouble deciding whether to play on a PC or a console. What if all were welcome? Is there a place where these two can coexist? This is the Game Fix Show.
Hello, my friends, it's at Game Fix. It's a me, Mario.
Woohoo! I'm here to kick ass and listen to the Game Fix Podcast.
And you're listening to the Game Fix Podcast.
And you're listening to Game Fix.
It's Game Fix Podcast.
I like to tune into the Game Fix Show.
All right, partner. You know what time it is.
Let's go, Payday! Payday!
Welcome to another edition of the Game Fix Podcast. I am Spanish, and who are you?
And I am Mike. How's it going, Dave?
Mr. Colonel Fancy to you. Anyway. So it's me and Mike today, flying solo. Kind of. Anyway. Without Berlin, yeah. But we got a lot to get to, and we got kind of a cool conversation. So if you're in the chat room, this is definitely an opportunity for you guys to jump in and play along with us, right? I mean, that's really what you do, right? You watch the show anyway, so you are playing along with us. So why not just go the extra mile? And
you're a part of the show.
We want you part of the show. So if I can pull it up. Okay, here's the question. Okay, yeah, we're doing. Obviously, it's a little different than we normally do it, but it's what dormant IPs and franchises you'd like to see rebooted or a sequel to something that had a cliffhanger? So keep that in mind. We will flash that up on the screen every so often, so you guys can answer. But that's for everybody in the chat room. And you know what? It's fine if you listen to this recorded version of it, which is fine too. You could just hit us up on Twitter and what you want to know. So at GameFix Show. So that's the good. There's other places to find that as well on our website, gamefixshow.com. All of our social media is there. You can click and follow and whatever. We also have our Patreon. So if you'd like to support the show monetarily, it really does help the show every single dollar. And the only reason this show is going is because of our Patreon. So we thank the Patreons and everything that they've done. They've supported us through quite a while now, and we do appreciate it. So, okay, Michael, we have a lot to get to. All right, there is some weird news and kind of exciting news, but so PlayStation, they're kind of changing things up. So we'll get into like why they're doing that, and actually some new PlayStation stuff that was revealed this week. Ooh, what would that be?
Intrigue.
Oh, that's what I wanted to say. That's an inside between me and Mike. Anyway, all right. So and then also a possible new Fallout game, but which one? Which Fallout? Because it is a sequel to an older one. I guess they're all sequels, if you really think about it. But you'll see what I'm talking about.
Really think that 76 was like the direction they're going to go from here on out?
Yeah, well, there might be some rumbling, so we'll get to all that. Plus, Capcom has released a bunch of shit. We'll get to all of it. that's a hell of a tease, right? Like that's like the tease of the year. Giving away a bunch of shit, whatever. Yeah,
Capcom's got stuff.
Whatever. Yeah, that's fine. All right. Well, we got to talk about what we've been gaming. How about I go first? I just get all that. Right. You thought I was going to say you, but no, I did. All right. So I have been playing all week. I'm not going to lie. I have been playing video games by my lonesome. I played no multiplayer game, and I've only played Horizon Forbidden West. All right, so this game, Mike, dude, have you played the first one?
Yes.
Okay, so you at least know what I'm talking about, at least.
The first one was probably one of the cooler open world games
absolutely.
To be released, like in the like early part of the PS4's life.
I agree.
Well, but mid.
I'd say mid. But so obviously the sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn, and it really doesn't disappoint, man. There's a lot more things that you can do in there. They cleaned up some of the stupid shit. You don't have to collect as many flowers. I think that's If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Thank goodness.
So yeah. they kind of perfected. I don't know if you say perfected, but they cleaned it up. And because like, if, okay, so how it worked in the other game, once you got to a certain level, you would have literally three bars of health. Okay. So, right. Like, and once, if you were dying, you just hit, three bars of actual, like actual health, not like you only had one bar of health, but you had three bars to heal yourself. How's that? I don't know.
It was like a refresh mana tracker that would replenish after, X amount of,
when you would hit it, it would just take away as much as it would fill your bar. Right. And then it would just keep doing that. Well, the problem with that, I thought, was and trust me, I love the first game. It's one of my favorite games I've ever played. But that was my biggest gripe, was just like I felt like I'm just picking flowers all day because you had to fill that up. And one flower was like this much health. And it just like you just had to do a lot of them just to get it. And so I just felt like I think half the time I was playing it, I was picking flowers. So in this game, every flower is one full health bar. Okay. So, right. And you could start with up to 10, like in your pocket or in your, whatever, your knapsack or whatever. And if you're low on health, you just hit up and I think it's half. Each one is half of your, it is. Each one is half. So if you're down, like almost dead, you'll need two to survive, like to fully come back. But the cool thing about it is you only have to hit it once. So if you're in the middle of a match or whatever, you don't have to like keep hitting up to like do it. You only have to hit it once and it will literally fill your bar back up and take away all the health by itself. So I think they've really made some improvements with that, and it's really shown. I've played a good amount of hours so far, and it's definitely a change in pace, and that I mean other than that, there's a lot of talking, and you know how I feel about talking and storyline,
story portions of games, like it's not really much of my bag anymore.
Yeah,
like, which is a little bit contradictory since I'll play like Japanese role playing games,
right, but... dude? That's the biggest culprit, right? Like that by far. Yeah. Well, this one has a lot of So, but the good thing about it is you can fast forward through every conversation you have. So. It doesn't take that long if you don't want it to take that long. You could sit there for an hour and just listen to a conversation, you know, that they're having. You get all the information. I think because it's good, like for building a storyline, some of it is okay. But then, like some of the stuff, like they're talking about, like, you know, my brother stole this from something, and I need you to help me get it back, or some, you know, or whatever it is. You know, so it's just like I don't really care, and I don't want to have a conversation with you. Just give me the mission, and then go away.
Yeah, right. That's the reason why you want to like turn the game on.
Yeah.
Like one of my buddies on Twitter has been playing it. He's put like 20 hours into it. He said that so far it felt like that 10 of it is story.
Yeah. I'd agree. Yeah.
And that's you know Sony's MO now. Like they're going all in on those like narrative driven third person kind of action adventure games.
And it's cool. I dig it. But like maybe less conversation. Some things don't need said. Like there's so much stuff that's unimportant in those conversations that I noticed. Like I don't know, maybe it's important down the road, but like it's just like okay, I don't really care that whatever, you know, you lost a horse. Like
world
I don't,
building.
Yeah, it's like it's just like a big explanation every single time, but that's okay, whatever. The game's awesome. There's a couple of new tools that you use, you know, a couple of new weapons that they introduced, so that's cool. Namely the glider. So you'll never die. You'll never die of fall. As long as you hold down square when you fall, you will glide to the ground no matter what. So that's cool. And there's no like a time limit on the glider. It'll stay on as long as you're in the air.
So really?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, that's like one less thing to worry about, you know, because usually those games do stuff like that. They like, you know, you only have 5 seconds, you know, and then you gotta like wait. Yeah. Like, it's like it's virtual, which doesn't make any sense. So, but that doesn't matter. It's a video game, so it doesn't matter. It's no,
like
it doesn't matter.
She conjures it, so it's like more tech based. Like
yeah,
just conjure it.
It's like how do I describe it? It's like a lightsaber, except for it doesn't cut through things. But it's like a lightsaber. Okay. So it has like a thing that she holds onto, and it just projects this glider, and she glides with a projection. I know. Don't think about it too much. But no, it's cool. It's a cool little feature because I know the last game I died a lot of falling. I do remember that. So
that was almost going to be like a thing. I was like, what's your opinion on fall damage in open world games? Abolish it or leave it?
I mean, I don't want to abolish it. I think it's fine. I mean, it makes it feel more real. It makes you feel, you know, that you can't just jump and do anything you want, you know? So no, I would say no to that. I dig the fall damage. Just, I think I fell a lot in that game. In the first game. So, all right, that's enough about me. What have you been playing this week, Michael?
I also had a pretty light gaming week. I'd spent like a good couple of days doing some grinding in the mobile game King of Fighters All-Stars.
Nice.
So I'm at the point in the game where I've progressed to the story of where I'm like currently in the Nest's arc, which is like the third major arc in the King of Fighters games, and all of the enemies are now roughly like level 80 or 90. So, given your mobile game, you're going to reach that point where your characters all plateau, and you have to evolve your characters by acquiring a bunch of items. What does that
naturally
mean? You're going to have to do excess amount of grinding. I've probably spent like a month trying to get my characters from level 70 just to like level 84 because you need like independent orbs and stuff that you have to do a bunch of side quests in order to complete. But you also have like a cooldown period, so you can only do these 5 times, and you've got a roster of 3 characters because King of Fighters, and I'm trying to decide which characters and which element should I spin these on, because the bosses also have like certain colors, have like colored elements that, depending on the character you're playing, you're either going to be weak, strong, and neutral against.
Yeah. Okay.
So I've just been burning up a lot of resources. Haven't spent a single cent.
Sounds like a lot of free time as well. Sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, you know, just like, while you're just like sitting there on the crapper and you're just I'm like, oh my god, I've got to like do more grinding. Better eat Taco Bell so I can find a way to kill like an hour. And so yeah, I've been grinding a lot in that. I also introduced my nephew to Steam. So
maybe next week you could introduce it to heroin.
I'm a terrible influence.
Don't do that. Steam's fine. Anyway, go ahead.
I lost my supplier.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So he's been watching people play this ragdoll fighting game called Rivalries. And I guess it has like a beta form.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen this before, but what it is, you and another player will take turns adjusting like a sword or like a weapon and a shield in a position, and then you'll hit go, and you'll go towards him, and he has a chance to like move his limbs and his body either out of the way or in position to counterattack when you're moving in. It's really weird.
Yeah.
It's very interesting because of just how like straightforward and simplistic this is. And depending on which organ you hit, you can like have them bleed out, or you can get your character to move back and counter and try to stab them in the head, or deflect with your shield. It's a really weird ass fighting
game.
Yeah,
for sure.
But there's I actually got some pretty good enjoyment out of it. And we played that for a couple of hours. He's been like playing it with his brother for I don't know the last like day and a half or so. So that's been kind of fun. I've also went back and played a little bit of Final Fight on the NES, on the Super Nintendo.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Which is a game I've reviewed on.
Man, I haven't played that game forever. Yeah.
Yeah, like I remember I initially wanted to do a like back and forth about which one was better, King of Final Fight or Streets of Rage, but Streets of Rage has always been kind of better. And going back and playing the Super Nintendo port, I've forgotten how freaking garbage this game is. Most of the attacks don't work. It's one player. And I've been wanting to add this to the level 50 club because I'm still trying to beat more games, but I've now lost almost 2 weeks because I've been stuck on trying to beat Final Fight, a game I used to be good at, but I'm trying to readapt to its suckage.
And that's a good way to put it, I guess. Yeah, I can't argue that.
And that is kind of where I've left off for, like,
okay, real quick, where are you at with the 50 games? Where are you at? I'm going to ask you every week, so.
I'm still working on 11.
Are you falling behind? Are you falling behind? No, you're good. It's the end of the month. You only need 12 at this point, right? You only need between 11 and 12. That's what you need.
I got to get there. Keep going. About putting that down, like putting in Super Punch Out, a game that I can beat in like an hour.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, that's cool. I've never beaten that game, but right on. Well, as long as you know how everything goes, I get it. Bocephus in the chat room says that he's been playing Borderlands 3 DLC and says it has been his crack. He's playing through the DLC.
Tiny Tina?
Yeah, and then he said he's waiting to see if the Tiny Tina game is worth it, the new one. So, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I haven't really heard anything. Nothing bad, nothing good. I just haven't heard anything. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
So it's weird. It's like content that just exists.
Yeah. It says, where's Mike at? Oh, here. Bocephus got another question. And that's for you, Mike. Where are you with the February Patreon challenge? That's the glitch, right?
Yeah. I've got to get my hands on Royal I got to get my hands on Super WrestleMania for a Super Nintendo.
Okay,
so that I can that's going to be the last game that I'm going to try and get it in.
Yeah, so if anybody has that game, let us know. We need it.
Give it to us.
All right, well, cool. That's what we've been playing. Yeah, so if you're just like Bocephus, if you're in the chat room, let us know what you've been playing. That's cool. And of course, we're going to get to this probably halfway through the show or so, but what dormant IPs and franchises you'd like to see rebooted or a sequel to something that had a cliffhanger. So keep that in mind. Keep thinking about it. Hit us up in the chat room of what you think. That's really all this is about. Yeah, we'll chat about whatever. So, all right, but let's get to it. Let's get to it. There's a lot of things that we have to get to. And I swear the more that I see PlayStation trying to do what Xbox is doing, and don't get me wrong, dude, I am a Sony guy, and I'm just like, man, like, really, that's what you're trying to do that now? So PlayStation is PlayStation Plus is trying to overhaul their three tiers, okay, which includes three tiers, excuse me, a premium price, and then focus on classic games. So, in other words, it looks like they're going to eventually bring through a library of games just like Game Pass has. I don't know to what extent, because right now, I know they got a long way to go to beat Xbox. They definitely have a hand up in that. What say you, Mike? How, what do you feel about this? Is this just something another like, okay, PlayStation, go home, you're drunk, or like, what are we talking about?
I feel like that they're really trying to make something that's like a blockbuster right out of the gate instead of something to gradually build towards, because despite their like rich history of and like their library across like all three platforms, all the other previous iterations of Sony.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that they've ever truly wanted to embrace backwards compatibility that way. Like, yeah, you could play like old Sony games on the PS2. You could play PS1 games.
Yeah, right.
On some models of PS3, you could play
PS2 games.
PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 1 games.
I think you're right. It was like the first gen. It was only the 20 gig, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like later models omitted that. And when you look at like there are storefronts for like the PlayStation consoles, they never really put that much of an emphasis on like bringing back PlayStation 1 games to it. They were just hoping that people would subscribe to PlayStation Now.
Sure.
But the problem with like PlayStation Now is I don't really think it's like customer friendly all that much. Like, it's a little overpricey, and it's not really fun to navigate. I think I tried That's it fair. For like a couple of months. So if they're going to break this up into tiers, I already think that that's a bad move, because now you're going to gouge people out of what they feel like that they can afford, instead of just coming out with like a straight up price. Like, yeah, I dunk on Nintendo Switch Online, but they weren't bullshitting about what it was going to be. Like, you got your online play, which used to be free.
Sure.
Now
you got to pay to just go online. All right. You do that at home. But now we have to do it again. We have to do it twice. That's what, you know what I mean? Like, come on.
Right. Like, remember this thing that you used to do for absolutely no charge?
Yeah.
Now you get to pay for it, and we're not improving the connection. Ooh,
that's exciting! Yeah.
Right. At least give me some dedicated service.
Yeah, you could pay for this, and your ping will still suck.
So you still have bum servers, and they'll occasionally update, like, the Super Nintendo and the regular Nintendo library with like a handful of games. Right now, I'll give credit where it's due. They have been focusing on the Super Nintendo on the N64 version.
Oh, yeah.
A lot, and they've been giving that one a lot of attention and making it feel like it's worth the extra cost. I really don't know if I don't know if Sony just assumes that they're like diehard fans are just going to buy it and say it's good.
Well, here, hold on. Let me stop you there, because there's some stuff that they have said in a recent interview that I think you're going to kind of laugh to. Okay, so apparently this whole thing is called code word Spartacus. Which I don't know why they went with Spartacus. It's kind of funny. But they're saying that there's three tiers involved. Okay. So the $10 essential tier, the $13 extra tier, and the $16 premium tier. I don't know what those entail. I don't know how many games we'll get, blah, 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 blah. But obviously, they're most likely that they're just a placeholder. That it might be like, you know, what is it? Grande, Vente. Sorry.
It's a fright.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, so I don't know, really know what it means. Who is this? I'm sorry. Apparently they're saying, I don't know what classic games mean, but I do know that it's a major part of this premium tier. So you have game trials, classic games, and streaming on this premium tier. Okay. Oh, you don't know what that means? I mean, all right. Like, seriously? All right.
Is it that hard to just, like, divvy them up into like packages, or like, but like per console, per platform?
Yeah.
You're already putting yourself at a disadvantage by not being able to describe classic. It's classic. So they're already going in rather half cocked here. And I don't know if this is going to be an issue with like any kind of like third party devs. I mean, Sony's probably got the bank to pay for a lot of those games, but then again, we've seen with Game Pass, they don't afford to keep some of their games on there. Is that going to be the same thing with this one?
Well,
I feel like that they really put their cart before the horse here with trying to describe what this is supposed to mean.
It seems to happen more than often, doesn't it?
Yeah, like it's like let's just hype up something, and I feel like I've been saying this for years, like for better or worse, if there's anything Sony's good at is manufacturing hype. I think that's starting to fade now.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to make this sound exciting, and the prospects of it are good considering the fact that they like rule the gaming world right now. But they're also trying to do something that they really don't want to do in the first place. So what would you say that these tiers would be broken up into? You get this and you get the PlayStation 1 Essentials catalog, or the PlayStation 2, or do you bundle up PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 as classic?
Yeah.
And do you define PS3 and PS4 as...
That's a great... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what you do. Although I will stop you for a second. Bocephus says, where do I send this copy of the Super WrestleMania for NES? So apparently he has it. So that's good. We'll get with you after the show, brother, and we'll figure that out. That's awesome. Appreciate that, man. I mean, you'll send it back, right? You're not gonna, you know, keep it.
Oh, but of course.
Yeah. So for sure. So, well, cool. All right. Yeah. Maybe we'll figure that out after the show, because doing it during the show would probably give Mike's address or my address out. So we're not gonna do that. So.
All right, we'll be
dogs.
So nice to know
in
the P.O. box.
Yeah. He said, message me. I got Mike. All right, cool. All right, awesome, man. We do appreciate that. So, all right, well, let's not stop there. This, this tiered thing that they're thinking is going to go great is probably not going to go very good. I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in that. Although, what I'm actually pretty excited about is something they revealed this week. Ooh, what would that be? It's finally it reared its ugly head, and it's actually pretty cool looking. So it's not really that ugly now that I think about it. It is the PSVR 2. Yes. And, you know, obviously me and Verlaine, we both have the Meta or the Oculus, whatever it's called now. It's great. It's awesome. And it looks like the PSVR 2, might edge it out by just a little bit. So I think it's pretty safe to say that at least one of us will be getting the PSVR 2 at some point. Is this something you're looking forward to? I don't know. You're not really a VR guy, I know, but.
Yeah, I still want to buy it. Like the PS4 one, I don't have a PS5 yet, so I don't know if the second one's going to be good. Some of the aesthetic changes that they've made it, or the ergonomic changes for like making it more adjustable to fit on like various head sizes. Yeah. I have a massive head, so
at least you could admit that. At least you could admit that live on the having, show.
having something that can help bend around the front will be easier. Adjustable lenses. That was like one of my that was one of my nitpicks about the original one. Is it felt like it was like way too close to my eyes, and I would get a little bit cross-eyed depending on which side, because like my left eye sucks, and I can't really see out of it as good as my right one. By having like, if there's one thing that I wanted to look into was seeing is whether or not each lens itself would be what would be adjustable. Like, would there be like independent rollers on it?
Well, the Oculus or the Meta rather, there's two positions for the eyes. It's just it kind of clicks, but it only goes one or the other. So I'm hoping that there's more leeway with how far you can pull it. But yeah, it's funny, I didn't figure that out until like 2 weeks after I've had the Meta, and I realized that the lenses for me were too close together. I had to pull apart.
Oh my god!
But like I was like, okay, cool. At least I know now. And it was like, oh my god! And then all of a sudden, it was so much better. Like I was getting real dizzy, and that kind of sucks. I guess it could be worse, right? I mean, at least they look kind of cool. I like how the controllers look, and it looks like they probably feel pretty good too. Anything beats the Panasonic.
You too can look like Doc Brown.
You remember that? Yeah. So, but no, that's good. That's good. This is what we want. And you actually wrote an article on this too. So if you guys want to learn a lot more about it, so please go check that out. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about this. I think this is going to be something that PlayStation really steps up and shows, because we're still waiting on a Microsoft one. I guess they kind of have the Google, or they kind of have the whatever, but nothing for a console other than PlayStation. So they kind of have the market cornered on that. And I think it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah, so. I like it. It's also smaller too. So
yeah.
It'll look less like you have like a shoebox on your head.
Right. So. Right. and then another PlayStation thing. There's a lot of PlayStation going on this week. So it turns out it's going to make a lot of PlayStation fans happy. And including me, actually, I'm like, all right, that's cool. They are finally implementing a way to share your screenshots and videos with ease. And it's great, but it's really late to the game, because Xbox did that on the 360, I think. They made it easy. You could share games easily. You could just go into a website they have. You could pull it up and just download the video. Like, so... PlayStation is finally doing it. And great. Great.
I don't, a little bit late to the game.
Yeah, but I mean, that's good. Sometimes I want to show my friends what I did or what I did. You know what I mean? And like, I usually can't because it's
right. Like the way that I always had to rip like PlayStation footage off of the console was like either via USB or I'd upload it to YouTube, pull it off of YouTube, and then like hack it to bits.
No, yeah, yeah. See what I did is just a thumb drive. And then you could dump it onto that, but then you'd still have to cut it up to bits.
Right.
It definitely wasn't easy to do, but it took effort to like to do the one side of it, and then it's like, okay, now it's this, so that's good. Right. But yeah, but this is better. This is way better. So good.
Also, if I don't know if it's possible if you could like put that on the cloud, that'll also save storage on your console too.
No, that's a good point. Yeah.
Because I don't know if the PlayStation 5 does this. Like the PS4 would just automatically record data up to like a half hour or however you have it set, and you'll go in your files looking for something that you want to like PS4 share or put it up on like a stream, and I'll like I say my files like, okay, I played like 45 minutes of Metal Gear 5. It's like I don't remember setting that to record.
Yeah.
So.
No, I think yeah, I think PlayStation does up to a half hour, but that's what Xbox can do too. So
yeah,
that's not new. That's I think PlayStation 4 did that too, or maybe it was like 15 minutes. I think it was 15 minutes.
Yeah, it did. But with like the PS5, you can kind of like do it on ease. And yeah, this is again, it's another good quality of life choice.
Yeah, it needed to be updated. That's they did the right thing, but it was just like, why did you wait? So that's fine, whatever.
It feels like aspects of the console that were like kind of rushed and they didn't like have like optimized for it at the time.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're gonna roll it out now, so
yeah, right,
better
right.
late than never.
Well, other than that, there is one other thing that I at least want to mention. I don't know if you've been looking at this, Mike, but PlayStation is doing this giveaway, and they're not paying us to talk about this. So this is just something I want to mention. And they're calling it treat codes. Did you see that by any chance online? Treat codes. So, it's an 8-button code. You know, on the PlayStation controller, so it's the cross, triangle, circle, R1, L1, whatever. But you know, it's 8, but there's 14 different ones, and then there's a question on each of them. And if you do all of them, then you're entered for an opportunity to win a PlayStation 5. And I'm telling you right now, don't be frustrated. Don't be like, oh man, I can't even do this. So the reason why I'm bringing this up. As I'm telling you, you still have time to do it. And it's as easy as just Googling treat codes and looking up all the codes in a single website. There's a few websites that have them. And you just kind of type them in, and then you're entered to win a PS5. So I just wanted to throw that out to the listeners. And if that's something you guys have been wanting to try to get, or in this case win, go do it. Go do it. Yeah, so...
Like things like that.
Yeah, it was like stupid because like they had codes like everywhere. So like at one point it was at a hockey game. It was on the wall. It was like a 8 code. And that's all it was. It was just the code. So it was just like stuff like that. And it was like there was some music video that came out on YouTube, and that it was at the bottom of the stage. They just started popping up in different places. They really focused on like sporting events. And I think it was in a show. I think they did that, but whatever. But you don't worry. You don't need to go out looking for them. So like I said, you just Google treat codes, and there's, like I said, plenty of websites that will tell you what they are. So then you can enter to win your own PlayStation 5. Boom. Just like that. So I hope one of our listeners win. That would be awesome. That would be the coolest thing.
It's actually kind of weird to like consider this like that feels like something that's like nostalgic of like the mid 2000s. That feels like a promotional campaign from like the mid 2000s.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
I feel like I kind of get behind that. Like I don't know if you remember like the those old like TNA commercials back when they were promoting their video game.
Oh my god,
TNA, and, like, for like a split second it would be like whoisuicide.com, and it was when they were going to debut their character Suicide.
Oh yeah.
And like cross promotion with like the game. It's like that's It's a little cornball-y, but yeah. I can appreciate it.
Yeah, I can appreciate it, sure. So on those treat codes, though, when you enter the code, and once you enter the code, then there's a random question underneath each of them. Oh, I'd say random. They're all the same on each of them, but this is one of them. This is from treat code 13. It says, during December 2021, how many times did players log into their PS5 console globally? So you'll just, again, you could find that answer everywhere online. Literally. Yeah, I just everywhere.
Went to the site here. This is fascinating.
It's kind of cool, right? Are you going to do it? You should totally do it. As long as you have a PlayStation, an account, you can do it. That's how it is. So.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was looking into it and I was like doing it all week. And yeah, I was like, that'd be cool if I win one. I mean, I already have one. Maybe I'll give it away. Right. Actually, that's what I'll do. On. Yeah. There you go. If I win, I'm going to give it away.
Give a raffle.
To my nephew. No, to a listener. Yeah, we'll do something. We'll do something fun with it, maybe. I don't know. Or not. I don't know. I probably won't win it, so I'm not really that worried about it. I want to win it. I want to win it. All right, let's move on to Bethesda, okay? Or I guess you can call them Microsoft. Sorry. So Bethesda is dropping its launcher. Yep, bye-bye, launcher. In favor of a return to Steam. Hooray! but don't worry. Your games, your wallet, and other stuff that are in the account will go along with you. So you're not going to lose anything. You're not going to have to rebuy things or anything like that. It's just they're pretty much moving over their shit to Steam. So congrats. That's what I say. That means the opposite of congrats, by the way. Okay, go ahead.
They tried jumping on that like launcher craze because, like, I mean, EA did it, but it worked. But like the things like Origins and like EA Access like are significantly better for like your games. Some companies don't really need them. I didn't really think Bethesda.
No, I agree.
Needed a reason to have a launcher.
Oh my god, that is something that James hates. He's like, oh goody, I get to download another launcher. Right. Oh my god, that's like his number one bugaboo.
Like people are gonna like defend it and like, oh, it's just a launcher. Yeah, it's also taking up like space on my desktop.
Yeah,
and it's just another pain in the ass way to access the game. With Steam, you can just go to Steam, you click on your file, you're right there in your game,
and you could play it on your Steam Deck,
right?
Or something.
Yeah,
I'm still interested in it, dude. I'm not gonna lie, I'm still interested in the Steam Deck. Can I be honest?
I want one. Like, yeah. If I can get a chance to nab one, I'm totally gonna go
for
it. I think
you should. Like, yeah.
I feel like the placement of the analog sticks and like the face buttons on the right side that really kind of messes with me a little bit. But it doesn't look too. It's also like a bigger 3DS. I was always interested in like who the market for it was because I don't know if it's really for the casual game or if people who just want like a new piece of a tech to hold in their hands. And it's got like a 90 minute battery life. If you like max out a lot of its like optimal performance specs, but it's another gadget and I kind of like messing with a handheld.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. And that's exactly where I'm at. I was like, that'd be cool to have just to, you know, whatever.
Right.
I'll play Portal. Like I'll play something.
Like, move all of your stuff to Steam.
Yeah. Please. Right. Yeah, I think I would finally get into that game me and Jack kind of played at one point. I can't remember it, but it was like you build a wooden like house, and you have to there's like these zombies that come out in the middle of the woods. I can't remember the name of it now. Damn it!
Like a tower defense game.
No, it's more of a like a survival game. Yeah, it's more of a if anybody knows the name of it, it's escaping me, but I would actually like play it if I had that, like, cause I just don't play a lot on my PC computer. You know what I mean? Like I just said computer twice, PC computer. That doesn't, yeah, never mind. Yeah. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. So,
it's like when you hop on like your computer, like you feel like you're just kind of compelled to do like either work.
Yeah.
Or like things like that. It's kind of hard to view it as like a gaming space.
Works for suckers.
Sorry. It's
Word.
Like my one of my older PCs, it just had nothing but like Command and Conquer and Warcraft and Starcraft games on it, and it's well like that. And I actually didn't really hop on the Steam bandwagon until probably about like maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, we had battle.net, so we didn't really need that.
Right. Yeah, just like pull my games off of there on like old torrents so I can find Jazz Ball and such.
Yeah, so you know.
And I was like, oh, well, every game company is going to do a launcher now, which means that they'll all be like a game of a service. And like, okay, but I'm really going to do that. It's like, okay, cool. You can download the Rockstar launcher and you can play Grand Theft Auto. But guess what? They fucking pulled their Grand Theft Auto games off of there so that they can release their definitive versions. Great launcher.
Good job. Yeah, we really appreciate what you did there.
Yeah, we pulled games off of it. So stick around for Red Dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. We're going to stick with Bethesda. I got something else. So it turns out, reportedly, it's very early discussion. So everyone calm down. But it's very early discussion. But Microsoft and Obsidian are talking about a sequel to Fallout New Vegas. And I got to tell you, Fallout New Vegas, and I think Verlaine would even agree with me on this one, was one of the best ones by far. The storyline was awesome. Everything was good about it, except for it was buggy as hell. But if you get past the bugs, it was such a great game. The storyline was awesome. The rustic look of everything in that game was like spot on perfect. So, and which is why it was such a popular game. And do you want to see a two? Would you be excited to see a two, or you're kind of like indifferent about it? Because I'm actually pretty excited about it, if it's true.
I'd be all for it. Fallout's one of those things that I was super late to. I didn't start playing it until like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. And I've heard that New Vegas, depending on who you talk to, is the best game in the series.
I've heard a lot of people say that. Yeah.
And a follow-up to it would be like perfect. And Obsidian, the ones behind it, because people think that when like Obsidian was pulled off of Fallout was when that began the like series's decline, and it just sort of turned into more of a looter shooter, and it became less focused on like the lore and its characters and such. And I can see that. So it looks like it's going to be a great marriage now with like these Microsoft acquisitions.
Yep.
And I think a follow-up to probably the most popular Fallout game. I think that's an opportunity that's too good to pass up.
Well, there's a question I asked at the beginning of the show, and I'm going to ask it again because my first one would be Fallout New Vegas. So that's kind of why I bring it up. So, but what dormant IP or franchise you'd like to see rebooted or a sequel to something that had a cliffhanger? So in this case, it would be a sequel to the first New Vegas. It's hard to say like it would be a new Fallout because there's Fallout 3 and 4 and all these other ones. But no, an actual true sequel to New Vegas itself. So I think we should start now. And then if you're in the chat room, if you think of one too, please let us know. We'd love to hear exactly what you're thinking too. So my first one, Fallout New Vegas. What do you got? I don't know. Are we doing a lot? I don't know how we were doing. let's just shoot and see how it goes. Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Do you remember EA's Strike series? The like overhead isometric chopper action games?
Ooh.
Like Jungle Strike, Desert Strike.
Yes. And, like, Strike. Of course. Yeah, 100%.
No, like
I played the shit out of Jungle Strike.
Oh yeah, yeah. Man. I freaking loved those games so much because you don't really see a lot of like simulated like helicopter action games.
Yeah, yeah. I could see that. I could see him doing maybe a VR with that. So then you're in the helicopter.
That'd be rad.
Kind of like, do you remember Infiltrator?
Yes.
Infiltrator, whatever you call it.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, because you're in the helicopter. Like, wouldn't that be perfect? Like in VR?
Oh my God, that'd be awesome.
Anyway, go ahead.
Like, it'd be perfect. Because, like, okay, you can, like, use 106 for, like, the gyros to control your, like, chopper. That'd be badass.
Yeah.
That'd be rad.
That was a fun game. That was a fun game. Oh, Bosefus says, we need an open world with Duke Nukem with bikinis and roided up human-animal hybrids. I I don't hate it. I don't hate it. We don't need another Duke Nukem. I mean, let's be fair, right? Like, we just don't. We're good friends with John St. John, and even then, I say we don't need one. but you know what? I'd probably play it if they brought it out. So, you know.
Oh, same here. Like, I feel like it'd be a train wreck, but I never pass up an opportunity to play a monumentally terrible game.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Like, but it was fun. The dialogue is fun. And, you know, as a kid, you're like, ooh, that's a boob. You know what I mean? Like,
damn. What is them alien bastards done shot up my ride?
That's pretty good. That's not bad. Yeah, that's not bad at all. But yeah, yeah. So, like, that's I don't know. Okay, so, yeah.
It's interesting. Like, Duke Nukem, he felt like such a product of its time that when he did come back, he didn't fit because by that time, we already had Deadpool. So,
we didn't need him. Yeah.
It's just, so like, you're kind of like outlandish wackiness, unless you have a hook that can, like, work with like, how the times have changed, you're going to feel like a bit of a time capsule.
Yeah.
Like, and that was like Duke Nukem. Another game that I thought about. It's a fighter. Would be a sequel or a redo. And I know that Capcom's got to be hearing this because they've been re-releasing some of their older games. Is a follow up to Project Justice and Rival Schools.
I don't know. I definitely don't know that one. That doesn't ring a bell at all. So
yeah, these
school
were 3D
me. School me up.
Games. Yeah, these are like 3D arcade fighting games, and I would say that they probably played a little bit similar to like Marvel versus Capcom and like some of the Versus games around the time. You'd like pick a team of two, and you'd have like an assist attack. It was actually pretty unique for its time. And if you like the Street Fighter EX plus Alpha 3D games. It felt like it borrowed that engine, although I think it ran a completely different engine. But its sequel, Project Justice, only came out on the Dreamcast, and the game was like incredibly rare. And at that point, like the Dreamcast was dying, and we haven't seen anything from it since like 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like one that I'd like to see come back. Then again, Capcom has so many dormant IPs.
They really do.
Probably.
We're actually going to get into a few of those dormant IPs here in a second here. Another one for me, and it's almost an obvious one. I think if James is here, he'd know exactly what I was going to say, which is why he's probably surprised that I didn't go with that first. But another one for me would be Portal. I guess it would be Portal 3 in this case. I know it's such a tired, like, there's so many people talking about it throughout when was the second one come out? It was 2009, 2008, something like that. So it's like it's been quite a while, you know, and it's at this point it's been 14 years roughly. So I don't know. I would love to see one, especially in the next gen system. So that's probably my top tier of what I want to see as far as rebooted IPs, or I guess dormant. It's a dormant IP, right? Yeah. I mean, the only other thing they put out after that was the Bridge Maker, the Portal Bridge Maker or whatever, which was cool, which was fine.
They made like a Portal tabletop game. Yeah.
Portal Bridge Constructor. Thank you, Bosefa. He's on it, man. He's on it today. So, all right, cool. Anything else? Those are the two that are on the top of my head, that's for sure.
I don't know if Level 5 had ever wanted to like make more of this, but a sequel to Dark Cloud, which is at the time it was kind of hyped as a Zelda killer, but it doesn't play anything at all like Zelda. It's a little bit more like a dungeon crawling world builder game. So, in the first game, your like hometown and like most of the world is annihilated by like some like otherworldly cataclysm, and it's up to you to like travel around and gather resources to rebuild people's homes. And you do this by going in like procedurally generated maps, which was I think probably the first time I'd played a game with with like that kind of like roguelite. I never know what the difference between these games are. And you would you travel through them for supplies. You'd gather them and you would build up. You would build up each town. And once you do that, you can go to the shops. You can acquire more items. And you didn't really level up. You just improved your equipment. And those two games, the first two Dark Cloud games, were the most fun games that I'd ever played on like the PS2. And I probably single-handedly bought Sony consoles in hopes that they would make a third one. But it doesn't look like that's happening. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just ended up with PlayStation consoles that I've been bought 70 games for, so it was clearly a bust.
Yeah. I think one actually just came to me, and this is something that I've been wanting for quite a while, because I was so in love with these games. Max Payne. I would love to see a new Max Payne. Let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah.
This is something we need. And I honestly, I don't want to reboot. Don't reboot it. Let's just give me a new game. Let's go. That's what I want. That's what I want. So that's my three. Yeah, I feel good about that. So I just love his brooding to himself. You know, there I was. You know, or something. You know, he always has a story as he. You know, yeah, it's good.
Like,
it's
awesome. You couldn't really get away with that without a lot of characters, without making them just sound like a walking, stabbing Westward elder.
Yeah.
And Max Payne pulled it. I still have to finish the third game.
Oh, okay, cool. Bozeeva says he still can't get past the baby crying level. Yeah, it's kind of annoying. I'll give you that. Oh. Yeah, it's kind of annoying. Yeah. So all right, well, cool. That's a good list. If you guys have another, if you guys in the chat room, let us know. Obviously, Bosivis gave Duke Nukem, so I'd like to hear what other people say. So all right, but let's move on for now. How about that? Let's move on to something that I wish Verlaine was here for, because he was actually pretty excited about it. Is Capcom? They announced after our show last week. What did they announce? What was it?
It was Street Fighter VI, and the Capcom Fighting Collection, which was actually the bigger.
That's the better thing. So let's talk about that first, okay? Yes. So the Capcom Fighting Collection. If you didn't see that, that's probably okay, because you probably only saw Street Fighter VI, because that was everywhere. This one kind of fell in the cracks, right? Like people saw it, it wasn't huge.
I would almost say that initially the Fighting Collection was the bigger story, okay, until people found out that Capcom probably ripped off an Adobe editor thing for its like Street Fighter VI logo.
Yeah.
But the Fighting Collection, I think, is the one that everyone's like more jazzed about.
Totally. Well, what is it? It's the 35th anniversary of Street Fighter, right, or something like that? And I think that's why they're doing it. Mm-hmm. So the games are, do you have a list of the games? I have them if not.
Yeah, I got them.
Go ahead.
So they got like five variations of Darkstalkers, which, it starts off with a regular Darkstalkers, the Night Warriors or Vampire Savior in Japan.
Yeah. Well, there was only one that was released in the States, right? And then there's five others that were just released in Japan. Is that accurate? I feel like I read that.
The first three games came out here legitimately. And oh, they then did. There okay. were like okay. sequels to those that never made it, to the States. It would be the sequel to Vampire Savior, which was the third game, which was called the third game out here. It was Vampire Savior 2: Night Warriors Revenge.
Okay.
And then Night Warriors 3: Vampire Savior 2. It gets a little weird.
Yeah, it starts putting different ones together, and yeah, but it's a cool. It's ten games, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Then after those, you get Cyberbots, which a little bit of personal history for me on this one. Please. I remember seeing Cyberbots in an upcoming release a section for like games that were going to be new in Japan in like an old issue of Game Pro back in like 1995 or like 96 or so. And I wanted it to come out here. It didn't, and I'd kind of forgot about it until Marvel vs. Capcom came out, and Jin Saotome and his Blodia mech is from Cyberbots.
Yeah.
One of the little assistants, one of the little assist strikers, Devilot, is also from that game as well. So that's included along.
I like how you talk about these. Can I? Sorry to interrupt you. I do it all the time. I know. But I like how you talk about these like they're your buddies. Like, you know what I mean? Like you know them personally, and I love it. Okay, sorry. Keep going. I know that sounded mean, but it's not. I absolutely love it. But go ahead.
Like,
it's fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, anyways. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Oh, stop it. What are you getting all blushed over there? Yeah.
I'm such a dude.
It's the same, and which is great, which is exactly why you're on the show, dude. So don't think anything else of it. You know, you're a dork like we are. So cool. Like, yeah, you made it. Yeah, it wasn't that hard, but you definitely know your shit. So you know, just like you know, you talk about all the presidents of each you know, Tekken or
whatever. Companies.
Yeah, like how do you know these names? But that's what you do. So yeah,
I figured that one of my greatest strengths to this planet is being a giant bastion of regularly useless knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. See, I describe myself as a fountain of useless knowledge. So I just throw knowledge out, but it really doesn't matter. It'll go in the drain. No big deal. Yeah, that's all I know. But that's okay. I like it. So. Yeah, so there you go. At Capcom, I think that's cool. It's good. It's good. It's a great announcement. I'm glad they did it. And I have a feeling I'll probably own it.
Most likely. Yeah, I'm buying it. All the games have online play.
Of course.
Now, I love the fact that they snuck another version of Street Fighter 2 in there.
I know. Street Fighter 2, the Anniversary Edition, and then Street Fighter 2 Super Turbo.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I'm just gonna throw that in there just so that Street Fighter can just so Street Fighter 2 can get that one counter above Skyrim and Resident Evil 4 for the most ported game.
Yeah, really. That's exactly it. Yeah. No, Skyrim is king. Sorry. It's just no one comes close.
It blew them out of the water.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. Well, cool. Let's, you ready to move on? Article you wrote, actually. Yes. I'll let you take us through it. Activision delaying a new Call of Duty game beyond 2023. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, this decision came when, surprise, surprise, the free-to-play game that they released cannibalized Vanguard.
What? No.
So, wait a second. So, people wanted to play the free game over the one that you had to pay for?
Could you imagine the audacity of people, right?
God, these people don't know a good thing when they have
it. Yeah, seriously.
Give us your $70.
I know. I'd rather pay $70 and get it for free. Right. This is also a good thing. Can I say it's also a good thing because this gives them a reason to keep updating Warzone, right? Like this is what it's all about. So like in a way it sucks because you're like, oh, you're not gonna get one until you know, maybe 2024, maybe. But at least you know that they're gonna keep updating the current, which they should. That's what they need to do. Just keep updating. Everyone would be happy. Whatever. Go ahead. Yeah, what else about this will annoy me?
I was like, oh my god, people don't want this. I remember that being like the one thing about Warzone that like people initially didn't like. Like, oh, it's not going to come with a single player campaign, and then it ends up being like the most popular game in the series,
right?
Because who comes to Call of Duty for the single player?
To be completely fair, because you know me, I like a good storyline, I like a good single player adventure or whatever. I usually do play it. I don't clamor for it. But I do play it because in the past I've been handsomely rewarded playing those. I really believe that. There's a lot of things that Call of Duty has made in their single player games that are actually pretty damn good. You know, obviously probably the most memorable one is what, Modern Warfare 2,
where
you go through the airport. Yeah, and you're just. blowing people away like that. It's memorable because it's almost, it's so, it's actually terrible.
it's like very polarizing.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I first saw like the memes of it, I didn't get it. And then I played it and I went,
now I understand. Yeah. And it makes you kind of feel icky, right? It made me feel, I was like, oh, but okay, I got to do this. I guess you could have chosen to not do that, but why would we do that? Why would anybody choose? I don't want that.
See, I don't want to mow these people down,
I don't want that.
I've got two more trophies I need to unlock.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll just have my buddy there or something.
I've chose chaos.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. So they're delaying. I'm not sad. It's fine. I think it's actually a good thing. Because they can just keep regurgitating the same fucking game. So, yeah.
Right. It's something that'll give people a little bit of a breather because how can you miss it if it won't go away?
Right, right, right.
So I think if you take a year off, you come back with some recharge. Like, honestly, I felt like with like Call of Duty Infinite, which was I thought Infinite looked badass, honestly. But when it came out, people thought that's not Call of Duty. This looks stupid.
Right.
I felt like if you had held it off for a year and then introduced that, I think that people would have been all for it. Because,
maybe. So you're saying bad timing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because like a kind of slightly higher tech with like better gadgets, like there's like promise behind that. Like if there was anything that I felt that was disappointing about COD Advanced Warfare is I don't think that they gave you like real good access to a lot of the unique weapons that you had in the story.
I agree. Actually, I 100% agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And most of those just ended up kind of being gadgets that you would use for those moments. But if you put those in like some of the multiplayer campaigns, that would have been rad.
Absolutely.
And instead it was just kind of the same loadout.
I mean, but like you said, you know, Call of Duty is multiplayer. That's why you buy it. That's why you get it. Cause you play multiplayer, but you should definitely play the single player if you get it. If you buy it, right. You should at least play through it. You bought it.
Oh yeah, totally. Like the campaigns are never really bad.
It's like buying a new book and not reading the first two chapters.
Right. I want to skip to the action.
Yeah, that's no. That's what Verlaine does actually. Every game that he gets, he goes straight to the multiplayer. And that's fine. That's cool. I mean, I love playing with my friends and shit. But sometimes it's just like I just don't bother me. I'm playing Horizon or something.
Oh, if they're not around, you want to indulge in some
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I was like, I'll kind of do that with my fighters too. I'll train a little bit and then I'll just hop on the online ranked and get my ass kicked.
Yeah, right. So, all right, let's move on. Another article you wrote on GameFixShow.com. You can read all of his articles there. This one.
Ah, man, I'm all out of cash.
It's some free games. Free games of March. Oh my God, we're almost in March. Jesus.
February blew by.
Oh, all right. Totally blew by.
There's nothing happening in the world.
Yeah. Let's start with Microsoft. How about it? Because these games look awesome. Oh man, what a cool lineup this is. I'm not sarcastic at all. Okay, so the first one comes out March 1st and lasts till the end of the month, end of March. It's called The Flame in the Flood, a game I've never heard of.
Neither have I. I think I glossed over it in some Steam mug.
A girl and her dog journey on foot and by raft through the backwaters of a forgotten post-societal America, scrounge for resources, craft tools. Okay, so it's a survival game. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, I do enjoy a good survival game, so maybe I'll at least give it a go. Yeah. So, okay, the next one is available March 16th through April 15th, and it is Street Power Soccer. So it's just like a pickup game, soccer video game?
Pretty much.
Okay.
it's like a little arcadey.
Okay. Sure. You know. Well, that's cool. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. And that's a Xbox. Oh, that is an Xbox One game. Okay, cool. Rounding out with two Xbox 360 games. First one available March 1st through the 15th. It's called Sacred Fallen Angel. I feel like I've heard of this game before, but I don't know.
I played the first one a little bit.
Man, they're just running out of games, I feel like.
At this point, it just feels like you're buying it for Game Pass, not the game's
sold. Well, the last one, because they always do four, so March 16th through the 31st, is SpongeBob Truth or Square. Wow. Good lineup. Good lineup. But, I mean, like, what else you have? There's probably not much left. They've given away almost every game, you know, throughout their campaigns and shit. So, I don't know. It's
cool. And, unless they're banking on some, like, smaller devs to, like, whip together some other stuff.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. All right, well, let's go to PlayStation. PlayStation has four games, right? Four games. There was an article that said it might be five, but okay, four is fine. The first one is called Ghost Runner, and by the way, these are always available. The PlayStation games are always available the first Tuesday of every month, and this Tuesday happens to be the first, so it is out on March 1st. Ghost Runner. I don't know much about it.
I
don't even know this game existed until I saw the thing, but it looks kind of cool, I guess. It's like a first person ninja game, like steampunk ninja game, or right?
Not much. Yeah, something like that. It almost put me vaguely in mind of like, it's not out yet, but like Ghostwire Tokyo.
Oh, okay.
Like that.
You know, it's funny. I went with what's the game? It's the Asian chick, and she's like parkouring over like buildings and stuff.
Mirror's Edge.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah,
because it kind of has the same like running thing. So I don't know, that one I'm actually interested in. I will give it a go. I will definitely check that one out. The next one is Ghost of Tsushima Legends, which is awesome because Ghost of Tsushima is a fucking awesome game. So if you haven't played it yet, you are in luck. So
I'm so sad I picked Sekiro over Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh man. Well now you have it. So there you go. You didn't have to pay for it. But I'm telling you, dude, it's awesome. The sword fighting is so much fun. Oh my god. I mean, that was the biggest part of the game that I enjoyed, like the actual like dueling, like sword fighting. It's awesome. Yeah.
Now, like Sucker Punch did a hell of a job with that, which is based off of what I've seen.
Oh yeah. No, it's so good. It's a beautiful game too. So yeah, I suggest anybody go check that one out. The next one is Team Sonic Racing. Yeah, all right.
It's a decent kart racer, but I still like Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformers.
That's the best one, yeah, right, for sure.
Yeah.
When did this one come out? Like,
this was like 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's pretty, like, yeah, that's what I thought.
You know, like, it was like 2018, but okay. Like, most like Sonic Team games are just kind of okay.
Yeah,
like,
I know. That's what kind of sucks about it, because like, as a kid, and you know, like, we both loved Sonic, and it was just like, then you see like all the new games they're making, it's just not the same, man. It's just not.
It's like Yuji Naka left Sega, and like he was like the father of Sonic, and like when he left, they didn't really have like that standout Sonic game to like really grab you, and
yeah.
It took like other companies, like the independent guys that made like Sonic Mania to like make Sonic fun.
Yeah,
I feel like Japan doesn't get Sonic anymore.
Yeah, I know. Sonic Mania was actually really awesome. That was a really good, like, kind of nostalgic, like, callback to what it was. So yeah, I did appreciate that. Plus, I don't know if can you see it up there? Oh no, it's too high. But I have the whole figure. I got the whole thing. With he's standing on a Sega. Switch. Yeah, he's standing on a Sega, and you turn it on, and it goes Sega.
Yeah, I've got like mine over here. It's like buried under my Marvel versus Capcom.
Nice. it was actually cool. I was like, I want that figure. That's awesome. So yeah. Do I have it anywhere? No, I don't have it on hand. Okay, no, that's fine. I was looking for something. Don't worry about it.
Gotcha.
That's cool. Sonic. Okay. So the last game, is Ark Ultimate Survival Edition. It's just a survival MMO game with dinosaurs. Pretty much.
Like, man, I feel like if the market wasn't crowded with those styles of games, like, I feel like that one would have, like, stood out to me.
Yeah, I might give it a go. I might give it a go. But
yeah, as like a freebie, I'll definitely give it a shot.
Yeah, yeah. I would again say that PlayStation won this month, or in March rather.
Easily. This was a first round knockout, and yeah. they have Microsoft mounted, and it's just delivering forearms.
All right. We're not mounting any Microsoft. All right. Well, let's actually finish this conversation out with your this week's retro reboot. What do you got? What are you reviewing this week?
This week's retro reboot. It was one that I was hesitant to kind of go back to,
yeah.
Because I remember this game being a headache for the first time. Super Mario Sunshine.
Oh my God. Okay, cool.
The GameCube. Nintendo GameCube. It's like one of the more divisive Mario games. Yeah. And I understand why.
Yeah.
As like, there's aspects of it that are kind of good, but more it just felt like it's just like a lot of busy work.
It's
like,
a lot of busy work. Yeah, and that's really what I got out of it, because I bought the Mario, what was it, 25 year or whatever, or maybe it was 35 year or something like that.
The All Stars pack.
Yeah, and it came with that game, 64, and then something else, whatever.
Galaxy.
That's right. Well, because that's the only one I want to play. Galaxy was fucking awesome. I will play Galaxy any day of the week.
That game ruled.
No, that game was so good. But I've never played Sunshine. I never owned a GameCube. So I have played a little bit on my Switch, and I never went back into it after the first set.
Because it starts off slow, because like you get a Mario game with like story cutscenes.
Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to use this water gun? Like I feel like some like an old guy. What is this, Sonny? What are X button? What, you know, like.
It's like friggin' Professor Egad, who would then later show up in Luigi's Mansion because he made the Ghostbusters vacuum gun.
Sure.
But like, this game starts out and it's trying to teach you how to use the water hose, and it just didn't click. No. And for like almost 20 years now, the community's like, no, it's a good Mario game. Like, no, it's a bad Mario game. It's the worst in the series.
You know, and it's funny, I'm going to get a lot of hate for this. Okay, are you ready for this?
All right.
I think it's not the worst Mario game, though.
I'm inclined to agree.
I think the worst one is Paper Mario, but that's just me.
I didn't like Paper Mario as much as I liked Super Mario RPG back on the Super Nintendo.
I'd rather play Super Mario RPG, to be fair. And that game was weird. Fun, but weird.
It's like Paper Mario had like 1,000 mustache puns. It got old.
Yeah. No thanks. No thanks.
All the traits about Mario and his mustache is what the game focuses on. It's like, what the fuck?
Although the most fun part about Mario 64 is when you have Mario's face and you could stretch his nose and everything.
Oh my God. When Remember I found that you could do that, I did that for like an hour.
Dude, I did too. Absolutely. I did. No lie. I would get high and then I would just play with Mario's face.
Watch this dude. I'm gonna turn him into John Malkovich.
Like smoking bath salts or something like that. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. But then the kicker, the biggest thing that I found out about it is not only you can like make, you know, pull his face wherever you want it, but you can hold it too. So wherever you stretch it won't bounce back until you let go of it. Oh my God, like, dude, I must have spent hours on that. It's so stupid, but why? It was fun.
Right. Like, more games should throw Easter eggs. Like
it's
that.
So weird shit like that. Okay. Yeah, I like it. I like it. Yeah, but you know, it's funny. I didn't really like Mario 64 that much. It was fine. It's fine for what it is. Yeah, it was fine.
It's kind of like what I said when I reviewed like Ocarina of Time. It's an influential game, but it aged quickly.
Yeah, yeah, and I agree.
And you like try and go back and play like Mario 64, and the camera angle kills you like more than anything.
Yeah.
Because at that point, like you couldn't control like cameras. Like this is like another thing about like games from that period, from that like mid 90s period with like the PlayStation, Saturn, and the N64, and why I think those games have aged significantly worse than like 8-bit or 16-bit games. It's because it's trying to find out how to incorporate 3D, and it's rough.
Yeah.
So, like, when you're going back to play stuff like Nightmare Creatures or Shadow, Legend of the Ninja, or, like, even, like, Siphon Filter. Like, Siphon Filter's fun, but it shows its age.
Yeah. I agree. I really enjoyed Siphon Filter, and, yeah, but it was just, for what it was, you know, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
It aged. I'll give you that. Yeah, totally.
Like that's like interesting about like the PlayStation 2's run. I think when they finally nailed DualShock, and you got Twin Sticks.
Sure.
That's when the game started to really feel better.
Yeah, that was a better idea. Yeah, okay, that makes more sense. And you notice it still looks like that because they nailed it. I mean, that's really you know, that's it. So
if it's not broke, don't fix it.
That's right. Yeah, and put them even. You cut the controller off. It's the same on this side as that side. Xbox. Sorry. All right.
Got him.
All right. Let's move on to the next thing. Gina actually posted an article this week, and she does. She loves Pokemon. So, and I'm glad she does because not a lot of us here love it as much as she does. So that's good. I'm glad she's doing that. But she actually gave you guys a little bit of a heads up. If you guys were buying these, what do they call them? Mood. Pikachu figures.
Yeah.
They look like this. If you're watching live, you see it, but if not, you could look it up. It's on the website, gamefixshow.com. But these figures were pretty much sold out like every other figure in the fucking world by scalpers, and then they sell them for like twice or three times as much, you know, whatever. Well, good thing about it is you don't need to pay a scalper. They have restocked these. So, yeah. That's just a heads up. But like I said, if you want to read more about it, gamefixshow.com. Gina's got the exclusive there. Yes, yes, yeah. Yes.
Get them all they can.
Get them all. You got to catch them all, or something. Yeah. Something like that. All right. Let me ask you a question, and I want you to answer honestly. I don't want you to be nervous about what I might think you might say. I just want you to honestly answer me, okay?
All right.
This is a random question. Do you like Machine Gun Kelly?
No.
Okay, good. Awesome. That's actually the answer I was hoping for, to be fair. And the reason why I bring it up is you, my friend, are going to get the chance to beat the shit out of Machine Gun Kelly, because he has been announced this past week that he will be a playable character in WWE
2K22. Yay! It's great.
That's our friend Link. Actually, he's the one that actually said that. He's like, "Oh, this is awesome. I can beat the shit out of him." I was like, "Yeah, I'm totally using that." So I'll give him credit. That was all him. Yeah.
it's like nowhere near as like fascinating as when, like, for whatever reason, Fred Durst was in, I forgot which SmackDown it was.
Oh my God. It was I think it was just SmackDown, right? I think it was Oh no, it was Just Bring It. Just Bring It.
Okay.
That's what it was. Because that's the one I played.
Yeah. And like Fred Durst in that one, like, okay. It's
rolling,
it's
rolling, rolling, rolling. Like when he came out in a convertible, and then he like did a flip and like went into the seat. Like, well, this is stupid. Like, why did I do that? So yeah, I don't know. But like I mean, to be fair, you know, Machine Gun Kelly took a crazy power bomb from Kevin Owens one time, and I gotta give him props for that. So
that was actually when I first heard about it.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit. Like, he took a big bump, and I liked it. I was like, that was sweet. Good, good.
And anyone that can take that kind of spot, yeah. I mean, power to you. I love,
especially by Kevin Owens. Holy shit. But yeah, so there you go.
Power bomb is like skinny dweeb.
Yeah, he's so tall. He's so much taller than him, but man, he's got so much more power, obviously. Yeah, I don't know. There's going to be a lot of his music in the game, which makes sense because that's what's in for
yeah,
top 40 lovers out there. All you
and I almost feel like that. It just feels like, yeah. Let's just try and change this thing. Like who's topical? Well, rock music is kind of dead. So Machine Gun Kelly's its biggest star.
Oh my god, it's not rock it though. It's like a pop. I don't even know what to, how to describe it.
I
now we sound like a bunch of old guys yelling at the clouds. All these damn whippersnapper kids and their new age music.
You kids with your USB drives,
yeah,
and you're streaming and your clouds and your Spotify's.
Yeah, as we're streaming right now.
I grew up listening to Stained.
Yeah. Oh God. Jeez. Hello, mother. Or sorry. Stained. Oh my god, no, don't do it. we don't have a lot of listeners at this point. You're gonna scare the rest of them away. No,
oh, my apologies.
All right, last but not least, let's finish the show out with this. Finish it strong though. Finish it real strong, because this is actually something that would be kind of fucking sweet, and I'm pretty excited about to try this. Minecraft in VR available on the Meta right now.
It sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome, right? It's something. It's so like, oh my god, the game is so stupid and it's so simple and it's so boxy and it's so, you know, it's everything of that, but for some reason, man, I mean, there's a reason why people love the game so much, because there's just so much freedom of creativity. So I don't know. Okay, so yeah. What say you?
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I think anything that you can do to kind of play, because like I respect Minecraft just out of its longevity alone. Like the game's getting close to a decade years old. It's getting close to a decade old, and it's still like culturally relevant.
Yes,
I would almost say it's probably going to outlive Fortnite. Maybe.
No, I think it's been out longer than Fortnite. So yeah, I mean, it's still just as strong. It's still selling lots of copies still.
And I didn't know if like Minecraft was on the Oculus or not.
Yeah, this it's on the VR or Quest here. Here, let me, I have a video on how to play it on your VR. So let me post that into the chat. So, if someone wants to check that out, it is there for the taking. Boom. There you go. So
yeah, deals like that with VR, I think it's kind of awesome. Yes. Like, will it change the way the game is played? Not really, but it can change the way you enjoy it.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, that's something actually me and Verlaine have said for quite a while. That, like, you know, which games you want to see in VR. I think we had like a conversation like that at one point. And one of them was Minecraft. So this is cool. This is something I'm looking forward to, and I'm definitely going to do that this week. Going to check it out. Okay. And I'm going to build a giant Mario or pixelated Mario or something like that. Or a roller coaster. Dude. I got some ideas.
Like I really should play more of it, because like I grew up playing with Legos and I loved building shit.
Yeah,
I should really find the time to just get back in the Minecraft.
Dude, I used to build tons of shit in Minecraft. I built castles. On my 360 save card, the white 360, you know, with the top loader.
Oh,
you know
what I'm talking about? That's a throwback.
I still have it. Right, but my PlayStation or my Xbox has the Red Ring of Death, of course, so I can't really play it, and you can't play that on a different console, on a different 360, because that doesn't fit. You know what I mean? So it's on. It lives in that little thing forever, pretty much. But I made a replica of Jacob's Field.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like
nice.
A full replica. It took me so long to do it. I don't think I even got finished with it, but like, dude, it was all in creative mode in that. But yeah, dude, one of these days I want to like try to figure out how to get back to that. and like show it to you because it was cool. It was like I was just bored and I was like, oh, what am I gonna do? And I was like, oh, sweet. And I just started looking up pictures online of the stadium. I've been to the stadium. We're in Cleveland, if anybody doesn't know. But like I've been to that stadium more times than I could even tell you. So like I have a good idea of what it does look like anyway, like off the top of my head. But like I had to look it up and I got like a lot of the intricate things and I was like pretty excited. I was excited that I got the scoreboard right. And like, I was like, sweet, yeah.
Oh, that's rad.
I guess I have to change it to Guardians though now, so that's fine.
And you'd have to like have to file like it's progressive field.
Yeah. Or progressive, whatever you call it. Yeah.
But people I talk to, like it's still the Jake to me.
It's still the Jake. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah. Nobody knows what we're talking about. That's okay. Nobody knows.
You had to be there.
You had to be there. You had to see it. Right. Right. So, all right. Well, let's say goodbye to the good people on that note. How about that? You feel good about that? Unless you got anything else.
I think I'm all out of
good
stuff.
Good. All right. Cool. All right. So, yeah, not a lot of movie stuff this week. So, I'm sure there'll be some stuff next week since there wasn't really a lot this week. So, yeah, we'll get back to that. Thank you so much for listening to the recorded podcast. We do appreciate that. If you are watching live, yes, we do a recorded version of this. So, you can download this anytime you want, listen to it at any time you want. And that actually helps us more. To actually download, it helps the show way more. So if you could do that, that would be awesome. We really do appreciate it. But honestly, you know, we love people here and interacting, of course, too. So either way, you know, I'm not mad. I'm just telling you what works better. That's all for us.
Yes.
You know, one way or the other might work better for you. And then, I can't argue. So, other than that, if you want to know more information about us as a show and as a video game fans, right? Gamefixshow.com. Read all the articles from Michael, Colonel Fancy over there, and of course Gina as well. So yes. Ooh, yeah. So again, thank you for joining us. Blah 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 blah. I think there's only one thing left to do, and that's to say it's your world. Pay attention.
Oh shit. Here we go again.
See ya.
Top guys out.
I love you.
Adios, turd nuggets.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on PressBox Access.